Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't think I could be an NFL quarterback.
You couldn't have caught that. It was a little out of
bounds. No. But I think I could have hit him in stride with this one.
You can't hit the proper shot from 3 meters away.
Yeah. But the proper shot doesn't move.
Right. Mine is brutal.
You're under
Mine,
pressure for percentages. Yeah.
All right, at least I hit better. The green thing right. that time.
Okay.
Good guy. Right. Once I stand, it's better.
You follow through.
Yeah, it's follow one. Through. See?
Was,
look at that.
That was your worst throw of the season.
That's not true.
I think it was.
Standing up again, I say.
I am. You're damn right.
How'd that work for you last week?
It worked out good. I made it last week.
Did you make it?
Did you make it? Did you pass or was it interception?
No.
Because you've been counting interceptions.
Sometimes I do.
It's three misses in a row for me. I can't be QB1 no more.
Hi, Michael.
I think that's the first time we went 0-4 in a while. Stuck it right behind the Hoosiers helmet.
The guy ran the wrong route.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers with Jay Croucher. And in his storm bunker somewhere, that is Matthew Berry. Matthew, that was a cruel opening. We didn't even know about
that. Very cruel. You know what? It's interesting is people wondering why is backup producer Pete backup producer? And it's for things like that. I still maintain, although I admit that montage does not make me look good, I still maintain Cooper Kupp was so wide open that I could have hit him. Would he have had to come back for the ball? Would he have had to adjust? 100%, but Cooper Kupp is good enough, and he was wide open enough that I believe I would have gotten the ball to him, and it would have gone in the box score as a completion. Yeah. What's interesting about that montage that we just showed is that there are some times, there's not a lot of them, but there are some times that I made it, and backup producer Pete has very conveniently cut all of those out, only to show my worst throws.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're still below the Mendoza line with the makes, Matthew. I believe it is sub 20%. Also, it doesn't count as a catch to Cooper Kupp if it bounces four times before it reaches him. But no, I agree. You've got potential as a thrower, certainly. Also, like that Michael Smith just goes with the CJ Stroud, just really kind of whips
it. The whip release, yeah.
Didn't go in. Yeah. Doesn't really work.
But, Lawrence looking real casual, like he was just going to go behind the back. Yeah. So, listen, it's waiver wire today. We have a lot to get through. We'll also give you, of course, our Monday Night Football takeaways with the Drew Lock upset over the Eagles. And with that, Drew Lock drinks free today. Shout out to Drew Lock. Great post-game interview. Excellent comeback. Excellent drive. All around, it was a tough start to the game, Jay, as we talked about. But for Drew Lock, a well-earned drinking free.
Absolutely. And if you saw the post-game interview, which I'm sure many of you did, it's very hard not to feel good for the guy. Having lived in Denver, know a few people who cover the team, and Drew Lock is one of those guys that just has 100% approval rating.
Yes.
Just everyone loves him. And I'd heard that, you know, when he was benched, when it started to go south, I mean, it wasn't a great vibe. And so just the fact that he was able to turn it around, and no matter what happens to him for the rest of his career, he will always have Seattle 20, Philadelphia 17. And he'll have that moment in primetime, so good for him.
More on that game coming later. We'll also give to you, of course, because it's backup producer Pete Day, our Back to the Futures bets. But before we go anywhere, there's only one way we could start this show. We have to show you something that kind of blindsided us. But, Jay, good for you. So Audible tweets last night. If you could have one narrator read you a bedtime story tonight, who would it be? Michael Stanzione, doctor of physical therapy, by the way, you see it right
Love
there,
that.
DPT, says Hard Knocks narrator, of course, Liev Schreiber, all-time legend, Dragon Ball Z narrator.
Not Liev Schreiber.
Not Liev Schreiber. Morgan Freeman, also not Liev Schreiber. Professor X, Croucher JD.
Yeah, I made it.
Nothing but legends, Audible response.
It's a great comment from Audible. I fully support that comment. I beat Ed Norton in Fight Club. I beat, who else have I beaten? Who are the other great narrators? Robert De Niro and Taxi Driver. See you later, De Niro.
That's a good one.
Thank you very much to Michael, and thank you to Audible.com.
You next to the voice of God, Morgan Freeman. Matthew, what's your take on this? Jay, maybe some voiceover work in the future for Mr. Croucher.
I just don't think we should live in a world in which Jay Croucher and Morgan Freeman are legitimately listed in the same sentence. None of that makes sense to me. I would like to interview whoever runs the Audible social account. I want 5 minutes of grilling of whoever it is that runs the Audible social account. Good on you, Jay. Good for you. All legends. That's heady company there that you were listed there with. And maybe we should have you narrate some stuff. What we should do is with my love-hate column, maybe we should release that as a podcast, but you narrate, you read it every single week. You read all 5,000 words every single week as the podcast.
Yeah, don't try and drag me into your little kind of love-hate world that you're trying to get out of, Matthew.
Right.
But I appreciate the comment. Also, me and Morgan Freeman have many things in common. Great narrators. We're also both better throwing a football than you are. I haven't seen Morgan Freeman throw it, but I believe that to be the case.
It's
great to be listed in that company. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
I think what Michael has proven right here, right now, and I say this not only to the two of you and to backup producer Pete, main producer Steven, alternate producer Adam, the entire production staff of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, and most importantly, our beautiful, amazing, and smart NBC Sports sales team, that when you have a mellifluous voice such as Jay Croucher, it feels a shame to only limit it to this show. When I think about all the sales reads, when I think about all the post-show ad sales reads that I have to do, when I feel like we are not doing our clients, our partners, our sponsors justice by not allowing Jay, one of the legendary voices of our industry, to read these voices. So this is a message for the sales team that moving forward, all sales reads will be done by Jay Croucher, especially when they have to take place after the show.
Yeah, I like how Matthew has turned a compliment from Audible.com to one of his colleagues into a mechanism to get out of doing additional work. I appreciate that those gymnastics.
He'll never back.
Listen, if Morgan Freeman's available, he can. If Morgan Freeman is available, he can do the Bud Light ad reads. I'm just saying.
Sure.
If he's not, Jay, it should be you. Whether it's we love our friends at Bud Light and at Applebee's and DraftKings and all the other ones that go just on the podcast version of this, I don't know which ones are in conflict with NBC, so I won't mention them. Jay, I think it's either you or Morgan Freeman. Whoever's available, they should do the ad reads.
Yeah, I'll text Patrick Stewart and Liev Schreiber and see if they're available as well. Got my other colleagues on that list.
Just have them do a cameo saying the crown is yours, who's eating good, Bud Light easy to enjoy, easy to Sunday.
Yeah.
These are all ingrained in my brain as somebody who does the reads. All right, let's jump.
Jay, could you just say that? Could you just do me a favor? Could you say that? Just say DraftKings, the crown is yours. Could you say who's eating good in the neighborhood, Applebee's? Go ahead.
You want to do it now?
Give us a treat.
You're cutting me off already. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
It's pretty good. It's like you've actually done that before.
I have done it several times. Yeah.
All right. Waiver wired running backs. Let's jump into it before we even get to our first one, which, of course, is Ty Chandler. Kevin O'Connell spoke yesterday on the status of Alexander Mattison and how effective Ty Chandler was. Take a listen.
Yeah, Alex is going to try to work himself, back this week. We'll see how he does throughout the week. There's no question that I thought Ty had a huge role and impact on the game the other day. Ty is, absolutely a guy that is going to continue to see a featured role in our offense. What that looks like moving forward, as far as who gets the first touch of the game and all those things, we'll continue to kind of work through based upon what we're attempting to do scheme wise. But there's no question that we have confidence in Alex. I think Ty's done a lot of great things and will continue to do so. And hopefully will be a huge reason why we're able to have success offensively down the stretch here.
Jay, a monster game for Ty Chandler while Alexander Mattison was hurt. And hearing from Kevin O'Connell there, it sounds like Chandler won't be going anywhere in this offense, whether Mattison is back or not.
Yeah. Now, I think we need to adjust expectations a little bit because the Bengals have the 26th-ranked run defense and they lost DJ Reader, so there's always a chance that Chandler was going to look really good against that suspect run defense. At the same time, Jeezy looked better than Alexander Mattison has looked all season. And also, Alexander Mattison and the Vikings, they've played 5 of the 6 worst run defenses in the NFL already. So I think that Ty Chandler, just with the amount of burst that he shows, is what he can add in the passing game. Also, the workload that he showed that he was able to take in the running game. They really should have given him the ball on 3rd and 1 with the game and potentially the season on the line. But I have to think that Ty Chandler is going to be hugely involved in this offense. And he is the guy that you would want to start over Alexander Mattison, even if Mattison is good to go.
Matthew, looking at Ty Chandler, available in 48% of leagues here. So it meets our playoff threshold right now. Let's say Mattison returns. How would you project Chandler in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's an RB2. I agree with Jay, by the way. If you sort of read between the lines of what Kevin O'Connell was just saying there, I mean, you hear like a major, major part of our offense. Like, he was, you know, he was doing whatever he had to sort of, you know, like, oh, we like Alex. We still have confidence in Alex, the dreaded vote of confidence here. But he kept waxing poetic about Ty Chandler. And I also believe that Kevin O'Connell watches football. I believe he has watched this team play. And I believe he knows what all of us know from the eye test. Like, Ty Chandler's better than Alexander Mattison, and it's not particularly close. You think about last week where he played 81% of the snaps. He got 98% of the team's running back touches. It's the most rushing yards in a game by a Minnesota Viking since Dalvin Cook in week 14 of 2021. So he gave them a spark, and the reason they lost that game is not Ty Chandler. I'm sure when Kevin O'Connell went back and watched the film, he thought to himself, like, what am I doing calling those QB sneaks with Nick Mullins as well? Yeah, you don't love the matchup against Detroit this week. Lions have allowed under 70 rushing yards in 4 straight. But yes, if you're starting a Vikings running back this week, it's Ty Chandler. I feel better about his workload as of today. It's Tuesday. We're taping this Tuesday at noon. But as of today, I feel better about Ty Chandler's workload than some of the other names we're going to mention, who are all dependent on whether or not the other players on the team are healthy or not. I don't care if Alexander Mattison is healthy or not. Ty Chandler is going to be the guy for the Vikings just because Kevin O'Connell is a rational coach. He's not Arthur Smith. He watches football the way the rest of us do. And like, okay, that guy is better. That guy's got a better gear. That guy just gives us a spark that Mattison hasn't all year.
Nice little stray at Arthur Smith. Always good to get them in when
early.
We can.
Early and from any location.
Yep, no, very well played.
All right, our next running back here, Chase Brown, better availability. Chase Brown available in 80% of leagues. He's got the Steelers Saturday, of course, here on NBC. And Matthew, the story with Chase Brown is his involvement in the pass game and how explosive he's looked, specifically in the pass game.
He's been targeted on 46% of his routes over the last 2 games, double-digit touches now in 2 straight games, over 50 yards from scrimmage in 3 straight. He's become a part of this offense, and Jake Browning, who likes to kind of, you know, duck it down, you know, pass it short as well. He's at Pittsburgh. Oh, by the way, that game is on NBC this Saturday. I'm a company man. It's also on Peacock as well. And so I think Chase Brown is more of a 12-team PPR flex play. You know, look, the Bengals still are very much alive in the playoffs. So Joe Mixon is going to be the main running back, obviously, for Cincinnati. But Chase Brown becomes obviously a very important insurance running back. And as you see it there on your screen, he's somebody whose snap rate continues to, get up there in the, you know, close to 20%. It's been increasing in terms of the total production as well. Like, Chase Brown has earned himself a role in this Bengals offense.
Yeah, I think the thing with Chase Brown is 2 things. One, a lot of this production the past 3 weeks came on that 54-yard screen pass for a touchdown against Indianapolis. He broke a 31-yard run against Jacksonville as well. And so you might look at that and say, all right, well, that's not particularly sustainable. It's also kind of what he does, though, and that's what they bring him in there for, those explosive plays. Matthew mentioned that Jake Browning, you know, he does like to dump it off. He has a very, very low average depth of target. That's what they do in that offense. Also, by the way, Jamar Chase not going to play. Right. So, again, it just emphasizes the importance of Chase Brown.
All right, so those are our top 2 there. Now we get into our injury contingent ones. But before we do, of course, an injury we have watched very, very closely throughout the week has to do with Kansas City, as you see Clyde Edwards-Helaire on this list at 60%, Trey Sermon at 100%, Justice Hill at 87%, Zamir White at 84%. Back to that Kansas City one right there. We got to hear from Andy Reid on the status of Isaiah Pacheco. So take a listen here.
He'll be back this week. You know, he'll be good to go this week. So unless there's further setback. But, I mean, right now it's been everything's positive for him to go. And he really had a clearance last week from the fellow that did the surgery to go. So it was just a matter of being precautious on it.
So that was Andy Reid, of course, talking about the status of Isaiah Pacheco, which, Jay, leads us to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 60% available against the Raiders. He's obviously had significant volume go up with Pacheco's status down. I mean, how do we balance this group now, which, of course, includes Jerick McKinnon as well?
I mean, I think we balance it by just getting rid of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't think that you really want to use CEH, though he did have a solid enough game against the Patriots. A lot of that was dependent on a kind of broken play touchdown, and so I don't think that he's just going to be as involved in the offense. We've seen, you know, how they have used McKinnon at the back end of last season, getting a bit more involved. Pacheco's clearly the guy there, and I don't think that CEH is going to be able to provide value if Pacheco is back as expected.
Matthew, you agree?
I totally do. You see it right there. You're seeing that broken play, which was just sort of a scramble. Mahomes extending the play, and then he throws kind of a jump ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Not something you really want to do. A lot of his production also came on a 48-yard screen pass, which was really set up where just New England was out of position. And but other than that, like, he's not that good. And to the extent that they use a passing down back to complement Isaiah Pacheco, it's going to be Jerick McKinnon, who's now had 12 fantasy points or more in back-to-back games. Doubles his fantasy points in three of the last four. I would prefer McKinnon if I was starting a non-Pacheco running back for Kansas City this week. I'd prefer McKinnon to CEH. Again, this assumes that Pacheco is back. You just heard Andy Reid there. By the way, quick question for both of you: what is precautious? What is exactly that Coach Reid said? I didn't understand that. He said I think he was trying to mean we were trying to be cautious. Or we were trying to exercise precaution, but he said precautious, and I'm just sort of like, okay.
That's fine. Right. Well, that's a mold word sometimes. I believe I praised Zay Flowers' explosivity last couple of weeks
ago. We just
let
it ride.
Yeah, it's fine. This is all, the English language is always welcoming new additions, so I like that Andy is being, precautious.
Let's get back to the top of the list, because the biggest one here in terms of injury precautions would be Zamir White, who's available in 84% of leagues. Last week, over 80 yards from scrimmage, he gets the rushing touchdown. Josh Jacobs did not practice all of last week before missing Thursday Night Football. So, Matthew, let's go in with the assumption that it is the Zamir White show again, and we'll have updates on this throughout the week with injury reports. I mean, he has to be one of the top waiver ads if that's the case, correct?
Well, you just think about how this offense operates, right? Antonio Pierce has not been a multiple running back guy. When Josh Jacobs has been out there, it's been Josh Jacobs. And then Jacobs can't go against the Chargers. And so Zamir White gets 68% of the team's running back carries, basically a 12% target share. He plays 70% of the snaps. And honestly, if that game was even slightly competitive, I think he might have played more. They worked a little bit of Amir Abdullah in as well, but it's clear that if Josh Jacobs can't go, they have a lot of confidence in Zamir White being able to carry the load. And this game is at Kansas City. The Chiefs are not a run defense that really scares you, to be perfectly honest. So just, again, if you told me, hey, there's no way Josh Jacobs is playing this week, Zamir White might be my number one or number two pickup this week. But because as of Tuesday and when you head into waivers, we're probably not going to know the status of Josh Jacobs. It's one of those things where it's just like he's either a top 20 running back this week or completely useless. So it sort of depends on where you have, what else you have, what else you need to do in the playoffs here. But certainly, if he gets the opportunity once again, certainly like his chances of success and a big workload against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a tough one because that game is on Monday, Christmas Day game, the early game on that slate. So you better have a pivot option if you are depending on Zamir White. I think some people might be a little bit scared of game script against Kansas City, the idea that maybe no one's going to be able to run the ball because the Chiefs will be up so much, and they are 10-point favorites. But at the same time, when the Raiders played the Chiefs and got blown out by 2 touchdowns a few weeks ago, Josh Jacobs got 20 carries right in that game. He went for 110 yards on the ground, touchdown, 4 receptions, 6 targets. I know, Colin, they're just not going to let him drop back 47 times the pass. I think they're going to be running the ball no matter what.
Our next one, Jay, Justice Hill, strictly because, unfortunately, Keaton Mitchell out for the season. Jackson, the torn ACL, a complete projection if you pick him up and have to play him, but 87% available if you're desperate. Thing is, he's got the 49ers on Christmas.
Yeah, it's not ideal. And this is another one of those things where your natural reaction is like, oh, this guy could be the starting running back on the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson. But then, like, the way Justice Hill's been used the past 2 years and the fact that Gus Edwards gets all the goal line carries, the fact that they play the Niners, as you mentioned, and they play Miami the week after, which isn't an amazing matchup either. So
Lamar carries the ball.
Exactly. Right. So I just don't think that, I mean, if you are desperate for a flex option, you could probably do worse just because I think he will get work. But I don't think there's that much of a ceiling on Justice Hill.
Matthew, would you agree with that one?
Yeah, I mean, I totally would as well. I mean, I will say this. The Niners last week gave up 177 rushing yards to running backs in week 15 as well. The Ravens have been able to run the ball. There have been moments this year, shockingly, surprisingly, where Justice Hill has gotten some work in the red zone as well in goal to go situations. Normally it is Gus Edwards, but there have been times as somebody that has Gus Edwards on a couple of deep league teams where I'm like, wait, that's Gus time. What's Justice Hill doing out there? And then, of course, Keaton Mitchell sort of blew by him on the passing attack. But yes, he is a running back on a good offense that is probably in line for 8 to 10 touches against the Niners. It's not a great matchup. It's more likely than not they go to Gus Edwards or give it to Lamar Jackson when they get in close. And as an offense, they don't really pass to the running backs all that much. Having said that, he does qualify at running back. And, you know, as we sit here in week 16, beggars can't be choosers. But again, more of a PPR flex than anything else. The last one I'll mention here is Trey Sermon. The Colts are such a mess. Who knows? Zach Moss sounds like he wants to play. There's a chance that Jonathan Taylor comes back as well. We saw both Tyson Goodwin and Trey Sermon. Tyler Goodson, I'm sorry. You see it right there. Tyler Goodson after Zach Moss went down for the Colts last week as well. But Trey Sermon, after the Zach Moss injury last week, he played 61% of the snaps, including 7 of 10 plays on third down. He got half the carries inside the 10-yard line. I'm not a huge Trey Sermon fan, as someone who once drafted him in a dynasty league and seeing him just wash out of San Francisco. If you're a running back and you can't produce for Kyle Shanahan, like, that's bad. That's not good. So it's a bit of a mess, but if you're asking me to pick between Sermon and Goodson of the Colts, I think Sermon is clearly the guy that you would prefer there. But again, there's a chance we see JT. Zach Moss may play. He says he's going to try to play through it if he can. It feels like kind of a hopefully we get more clarity before game time. But as we sit here on Tuesday, it's just there's a lot of uncertainty, I guess, in the Colts backfield.
Yep. Sorry, Jay.
I was just going to say, just lastly, on Justice Hill and the Niners' run defense being so bad against Arizona, like Arik Armstead didn't play in that game, Javon Hargrave didn't play in that game. Those are the two big guys in the middle of the defense, and unclear about their status heading into the Baltimore game. I expect they're probably going to play because it's such a big game. They've had this extended break. But if those guys aren't there, then all of a sudden the Niners' run defense just isn't imposing.
Right. It looks a lot different without those two.
And by the way, that game was a blowout as well, and so maybe they're not really worried about it. But James Conner had a good day at the office, certainly for his fantasy managers against the Niners last week in a game in which the Niners were never really whatever. Even when they were down 7-0, and everyone was just like, Niners are going to win this by 2 touchdowns easy, and they did, obviously more than that. So, but yeah, listen, it's week 16, bunch of injuries, we're sifting through whatever to. We're not even panning for gold. We're panning for, bronze.
To recap, for bronze, let's take a look at Barry's Week 16 top running back waiver targets. Of course, at the top is Ty Chandler, who should still be involved in this Minnesota offense, even if Alexander Mattison does return. Tajay Spears, we've told you every week this season about Tajay Spears. Guess what? He's still good. And Derrick Henry is really struggling, probably banged up. One to keep an eye on there. Chase Brown, Zamir White, Justice Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the return of Isaiah Pacheco could be an ineffective option. And Trey Sermon with a mess of injuries in the Colts backfield, but also they could be getting healthy as well. Let's jump into the waiver.
Two quick things, yes. Connor. Hey, Connor, before we jump into that, two quick things. Keep the screen up for a second, Pete. I just want to say that obviously if we get news between now and tonight when you do waivers, like, hey, Josh Jacobs has been ruled out or whatever, obviously then it's going to adjust how you feel about some of these guys. Zamir White would jump all the way to the top, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing I just want to say quickly about Tajay Spears, Derrick Henry kind of responded after the game. I think everyone here sort of knows that Derrick Henry is not going to be with the Titans next season, or it's very likely that is not. And so in a team in which the Titans are out of the playoffs. They've officially been eliminated. And so I wonder if whether it's Henry or the Titans or both basically say, like, hey, let's shut it down for the year. Who, you know, or let's take it easy on me again, because Derrick Henry's had a lot of wear and tear over the last few years. The team's not going anywhere. He's not back with the Titans next year. He may want to take it a little bit easy down the stretch. And the Titans themselves may say, like, let's see what Tajay Spears can do in a workhorse role. Do we need to go replace Derrick Henry next year, or can we go into the season with Tajay Spears as RB1? So I do think there's more upside than normal for Tajay Spears, especially, by the way, if Will Levis can't go. They may want to lean on the run game even more on Sunday.
Of course, we'll keep you updated on the injury status, the precautious running back waiver ads. Let's jump into the wide receivers. And, Jay, we start with Noah Brown here. 2 weeks of no action or nothing coming his way. This week, he's really the guy. 11 targets, 8 catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown. He's got the Browns. He's available in 60% of leagues. I mean, you could argue in a pass-happy offense, no matter who's under center, that this is the number one target right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about how someone was going to have to cook in this offense with Collins out, with Tank Dell out, even though C.J. Stroud was out, and Noah Brown, who was always the favorite to do that, given he's just the best guy that they have left, he went off against the Titans. Now, not a very good defense and secondary in Tennessee, and he will get the Cleveland defenses, which has been the best in the NFL this year. Also important to monitor Nico Collins' status. Looks like he might be trending towards playing. He was warming up on the field against the Titans. Also, C.J. Stroud, his return would hugely benefit Noah Brown. But regardless, really, I think Noah Brown has showed a certain just capacity that, you know, he is a viable option no matter what happens with Tank Dell out for the season.
Matthew, is this one of those ones where if, say, Collins plays and you have the matchup against the Browns, do you still think Brown can be effective in this game?
I do, because, look, he's had three games this year, literally three games this year where he's gotten at least 6 targets. In all three games, he scored at least 22 fantasy points, the full screen that you just saw right there sort of demonstrating that as well. And so I think Jay brings up a great point here. The Browns defense is going to be much tougher than what they faced against Tennessee. But I think just the Texans have been a pass-first offense all season long. And with C.J. Stroud back, I don't expect that to suddenly stop. And by the way, there's a chance that if Nico Collins comes back this week, Noah Brown's still the number one. Nico Collins has missed a couple of weeks here, and so and he may get the more coverage. I think 6 targets are easily in line for Noah Brown, regardless of Collins being back or not, and he's produced when he's gotten that kind of volume. 100% Noah Brown is, I think, a volume-based low-end wide receiver too this week.
Matthew, another guy next up in terms of targets, Tyler Boyd on the Bengals. We think that Ja'Marr Chase will miss the game with the shoulder sprain. That obviously elevates Boyd in a really, really big way against the Steelers on NBC on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Chase being out is a 27% target share. I mean, like, he injured his shoulder. Connor, you can talk a little bit more about the injury when I'm done here on Tyler Boyd. But I'll just say, like, it's a good match regardless. Steelers so far this year have allowed the 5th most yards to the slot, which is obviously where Tyler Boyd lines up the most. When their Chase or Higgins have been out, we've seen Boyd sort of step up as well. Browning obviously has a connection with him on some level. And so without Chase there, you know, again, almost 30% of the team's targets are up for grabs. I think Tyler Boyd becomes really interesting for as long as Ja'Marr Chase is out. And we got some bad news on him yesterday, Connor.
Yeah, shoulder separation for Ja'Marr Chase. Jay, he's expected to miss this week against the Steelers. And if you're in the fantasy playoffs, or just a Bengals fan, or just a Ja'Marr Chase fan, even worse, it could go beyond that for a team that they see the Chiefs in 2 weeks as well, a game that you'd really like to have Ja'Marr Chase back for.
Yep, and then they close the season against the Browns. So it's brutal. I also think with Chase, it's not just that he is missing, it's just his gravity in that offense too. Like, they were able to throw the screen passes they did against Indianapolis because of Chase's gravity and the fact that the safeties are playing so high because they're scared of Chase getting over the back. I do think Tyler Boyd will benefit in a huge way against Pittsburgh. One, because of Chase's vacated target share, which Matthew talked about, but then also, still just not any safeties left. Like, DeMonte Casey, he's out for the season with a suspension.
Right.
Minkah Fitzpatrick's not going to play. That defense turned Gardner Minshew into Joe Montana for afternoon. Gardner Minshew did whatever he wanted against them. By the way, with no Michael Pittman and no Jonathan Taylor and no Zach Moss, he just did whatever he wanted. So I think the Browning should have success, and Tyler Boyd's going to get a lot of it.
It's a great point about the Steelers. Outside of some flashes from Joey Porter, their rookie corner, they've been thin in the secondary all year. When they lose those safeties, those corners aren't good enough to survive.
Peterson
without the
might be. Yeah,
he's probably done for for him. So that's a big one right there. Our next one here, Joshua Palmer against the Bills. He's available in 71% of leagues. We thought, Jay, he could be eased in coming off IR. That wasn't the case. It was garbage time, but it was still 113 yards and a touchdown in garbage time. He gets the big play. But I say this, Jay, on the Peacock game on Saturday against the Bills, what's stopping him from having another game that's valuable with garbage time?
Yeah, they're
10.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, and Josh Palmer, who's the angel of death for backup producer Pete, because I stomped Pete repeatedly, largely off the back of my boy Josh Palmer, who was the beneficiary of the stick man dealing in garbage time. That was a fantastic pass and catch, by the way. That was a lot more impressive than the 79-yard touchdown, that ball down the left sideline. Now, doesn't look very sustainable, the stats. He only had four targets, and he turned four targets into 113 yards and a touchdown, which is really just the wide-open, blown coverage 79-yard TD. At the same time, another week off the injury. Expect they will be throwing against Buffalo. And Buffalo, despite what they did against Dallas, it's not like they're an all-world defense with the amount of injuries that they've got at the moment. So I think Josh Palmer is very viable if you are in need.
Matthew, how do you value Palmer, a second game off the IR?
Yeah, probably wide receiver three range. Look, the fact, though, is that he's had five games this year where he was healthy. The last five healthy games that Josh Palmer's played, he's averaged over 15 fantasy points per game. He's had multiple deep targets in all five of those games. And it's another week back, another week of him in practice with the stick man. You know, maybe with Brandon Staley gone, maybe there's a little bit of a lift of the spirit that maybe the Chargers realize, oh, we're all, you know, I mean, the general manager and the head coach were just fired. So we're all sort of playing for our jobs right here. Should be a good game against Buffalo. Games exclusively on Peacock, of course. I'm a company man. If you need a subscription to Peacock to watch this game, and you do need a subscription to Peacock to watch this game, you're like, well, how do I get one? Rotopass.com, by the way, my bundling site. You get a bunch of different great fantasy football websites, plus a 12-month subscription to Rotopass. It's a 12-month subscription, by the way. So you can draft, you get it now, and you'll get it all for draft season next year, Rotopass.com. I'm a self-company man. But what I would say, specifically Palmer, look, I think he's talented. I think he gets a decent amount of target share. He's had a 20% target share, basically, in the last five healthy games he's played. It's him and Keenan Allen is all they really have. We don't expect the Bills to have any problem moving the ball against L.A. So in negative game script, the stick man should be leaning on Josh Palmer. And look, junk time still counts. I mean, as we saw, like Palmer is one of those guys that all he needs is sort of one play. So I expect more than four targets this week. I expect them to have a nice game.
By the way, off topic, but I just wanted to mention quickly, with the news that Taylor Heinicke is starting over Desmond Ridder, the line just moved 3.5 points in Atlanta's favor. So that's where Desmond Ridder is at the moment, 3.5 points worse than Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah, he's
Falcons now 1-point favorites.
Bottom in most passing categories this year, Desmond Ridder.
Someone get me Lawrence Jackson on the phone. What the?
You'll see him tomorrow.
Good. I want to bring this. I can't wait to bring this up to him because I just – he's been defending Desmond Ridder all year long.
Poor position.
So, you know, Taylor Heinicke, look, by the way, we'll talk about him when we get to the quarterbacks here in a second. But, like, Heinicke's got a little bit of a gunslinger mentality. Heinicke, I feel like I get it. He wasn't great, but he's better than Ridder. I will go to my grave thinking that. He is better than Desmond Ridder, at least at this stage of both of their careers.
Our
he
next
gives
one,
the Falcons a better chance to win.
Our next
Am I
one,
wrong on that, Connor?
No.
Do you disagree with that?
I'm pretty sure there's a show out there from like 3 months ago where I said, pick up Taylor Heinicke in Desperation Superflex now because Desmond Ridder will get benched this year. It's probably from September.
Times two.
Yes, and it's happened twice. Yeah. So not that it's gone great for Heinicke, but I think it will go better for Heinicke.
He's
better.
Heinicke's better.
So it's a it's
and by the way, that's, I think it's definitely very good news for Drake London, for Kyle Pitts, for Bijan Robinson, for all the players on the Falcons offense that you care about.
For America.
Just because
Heinicke,
Heinicke's more of a, again, it's a cliche, but it's true for a reason. Like, he's more of a gunslinger. He's more willing to put the ball in play.
Lawrence will come defend himself tomorrow.
Sure.
Yes, he will be here. So
I can't wait.
Join us tomorrow at 12 p.m., of course, on Peacock. Our next one, Matthew, Commanders wide receiver Curtis Samuel, available in 63% of leagues. You talked a little bit this week how you're scared to play Sam Howell because he's got the Jets defense. Does Samuel fall into that trickle effect bucket that it's tough to play him because of the Jets secondary in this one?
actually don't think so. Three straight games now with double-digit fantasy points. He's had a 26% target share, averaging over 8 targets a game. And I just sort of think about how you attack the Jets. They're so good on the perimeter with Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. So Curtis Samuel, who is the slot receiver for the Commanders, is somebody that should be open quite a bit. He has some versatility as well. They find different ways to get the ball in his hand. So I do think Samuel, despite the matchup against the Jets, which is not great, I think is still viable.
Yeah, I think as well, just being able to, the fact that he lines up so much in the slot, avoiding DJ Reed, despite his poor game against Miami, and Sauce Gardner, that's the way you want your receiver to be against the Jets.
All right, our next one, Packers wide receiver Dontayvion Wicks, available in 97% of leagues, Jay. He's got the Panthers. He's coming off a week with 6 catches for 97 yards. The reason Wicks comes up on this show, he's had a nice season, don't get me wrong. Jaden Reed left Sunday with a toe injury. Christian Watson with the hamstring, hasn't practiced since week 13. Christian Watson has missed more time with hamstring injuries now for the last 2 years. Makes Wicks effective in a somewhat capacity here, maybe, for Jordan Love?
I think so. I think there's a couple of things. One, there's the vacated volume that you mentioned with the injuries and those guys potentially missing one, if not both, of Reed and Watson. There's also the fact that I just think Dontayvion Wicks is good. I like the talent, like what he does out there. Jordan Love, after that despicable game against the Giants, I mean, he wasn't the reason they lost against the Bucs. It was the defense just being atrocious. So he looked better. He was able to put up a decent enough stat line. So I think that Dontayvion Wicks, if both of those guys can't go, then he is a wide receiver 3 with upside.
I agree with you, and I actually have said this before. I like, if you're in one of those leagues where you can keep play, if you're in a, I'm sure in any kind of deep dynasty league, he's already been rostered. But if you're in a, if you're in one of those leagues where you can keep, you're a deeper keeper league, I like Wicks over Romeo Doubs next year. I'll just sort of say that because I agree with what you guys are saying in terms of the talent. We've talked about Wicks a few times over the last couple of weeks here. You don't love the matchup at Carolina. Right, that is a pretty good secondary. But if Watson and Jaden Reed were to miss, Wick suddenly becomes pretty interesting in a game the Packers desperately need. That's a very important game for Green Bay. The other thing I'll say here is that with any of these guys, we're talking about Curtis Samuel or Dontayvion Wicks or Zamir White, generally speaking, it's the playoffs and it's the fantasy semifinals. It's week 16. So generally speaking, you're only starting any of these guys if you're desperate. Ideally, you're starting the guys that got you here, and all this is just sort of like whether you're keeping it away from your opponent, whether you're just trying to fortify your bench, what have you. Hopefully, none of these guys you need to sort of use, but if you can or if you have to, here are some names. I just want to sort of couch it, playoffs is a time not to get cute. The one thing I will say, though, I have no issue with this. Sometimes the best offense is a good defense. If you're playing against somebody that lost Jamar Chase, and they're looking through the waiver wire, and oh my God, look at that Zoom. That's hilarious. I don't even know how I did that.
Terrifying.
But is it, that's new. I don't even know if I can recreate that. Can I recreate that? Anyway, apparently not.
Get waving your arms around there. Maybe something will happen.
Anyway.
Kool-Aid man just kicks the wall behind him.
What happens if I do thumbs down? I don't know. Anyway.
Great television.
There we go. But at any rate, that you're just ideally not using these guys except in disparities. What I was going to say is, defense, if somebody in your league needs a wide receiver but you don't, pick up a wide receiver just to block that person. I have no issue with that. Again, it's, sometimes the best offense is a good defense.
And doing that could make them look in deeper league targets. Let's look at the Week 16 waiver wire targets in very, very deep leagues in those scenarios. Pop Douglas against the Broncos, 79% available. Parker Washington against the Bucks, 95% available. Rashid Shaheed against the Rams, 53% available. And DeMarcus Robinson, who's had a nice little stretch here, Matthew, against the Saints, he's 92% available.
Three straight games with at least 40 yards and a touchdown for DeMarcus Robinson. Parker Washington, especially given the injury to Zay Jones. That looked pretty bad on Sunday night, and obviously they're already missing Christian Kirk. So Parker Washington becomes kind of interesting, too. I'm a big fan of Pop Douglas in terms of his talent, and feels like after Hunter Henry, he's the pass catcher on the Patriots you want the most.
Let's recap Barry's Week 16 top wide receiver waiver targets. Noah Brown leads the list, followed by Tyler Boyd, as Jamar Chase was expected to miss this week with the shoulder separation. Joshua Palmer, Curtis Samuel, Dontayvion Wicks, Parker Washington, Rashid Shaheed, and DeMarcus Robinson in some deeper league target formats. Let's move over to the tight ends here, which is headlined by Tucker Kraft. He's got the Panthers, available in 90% of leagues here, Jay. Listen, with Luke Musgrave out, Tucker Kraft has become a factor in this offense that does lean on the tight end quite often.
Yep, 6 targets last week. Again, he's like so many tight ends, really kind of probably touchdown dependent. Luke Musgrave is also eligible to come off IR this week, which I think is material. Obviously, you don't want any part of Tucker Kraft if Luke Musgrave is back. But yeah, as far as tight ends go, if you need one, then it's not a super favorable matchup against the pass defense of Carolina, but it is one where you would expect that the Packers will be able to score and get close to the end zone for Kraft.
A couple more here, Matthew, besides Kraft. We got Gerald Everett against the Bills, Hunter Henry against the Broncos, and Chigakonkwo against the Seahawks. Who stands out to you on this list?
Just to finish the thought on Kraft really quickly, he's been a top 12 tight end in 3 of the 4 games since Musgrave went down. He keeps getting multiple red zone targets as well in most of his games. Gerald Everett against Buffalo. Since returning in week 12, he's tight end 13, back-to-back games with 8 targets. The stick man doesn't go far from the line of scrimmage often. Hunter Henry seems to have some kind of weird connection with Bailey Zappe. In games in which Zappe has started this season, he's averaging 14 fantasy points per game. He's got 3 touchdowns in his past 2. But it's the Patriots, right? And then, of course, Chigakonkwo against Seattle. At least 45 receiving yards in 3 of the past 4. There's a reason there. Henry, you don't love the matchup against Denver, but Henry's the guy that is kind of interesting to me as well. But all these guys, I think, are viable given the low bar that is being a viable fantasy tight end this year.
Let's look at the quarterback waiver targets, whether you're in desperation mode because of injuries or you're in desperation mode because you play in a super flex like we do here on our NBC show league. Matthew, Baker Mayfield tops this list, only 46% available. He's got the Jaguars, who we've seen a lot of teams throw on that secondary. And the last 2 weeks, Baker's been airing it out.
He really has. Back-to-back games now with 20 or more fantasy points, multiple touchdown passes in 6 of the last 8 games. The Jaguars have allowed at least 20 fantasy points to 3 of the last 4 quarterbacks they've faced. We've talked about that Jaguars secondary a lot. They're pretty banged up. So the Bake Show, what a great story for him. I'm happy for the guy personally. The Buccaneers control their own destiny, I believe, in the NFC South. This is a must-win game against Jacksonville. Home game for them as well. The Battle of Florida, not counting Miami. Yeah, give me Baker Mayfield as a viable streamer this week.
Jay, a couple more here. Nick Mullins against the Lions, as you kind of tweeted at. Didn't look great for Nick Mullins, but the stats were enough there with the 2 touchdowns. And the same could be said for guys like Jake Browning and Derek Carr as well.
Yeah, Nick Mullins is a box of chocolates, and most of the chocolates are expired. But there are some good ones in there. And he does make, he makes throws. He attempts, and he's got weapons in Addison and Jefferson and Hawkinson. It's just the turnovers and the completely brain-dead plays that sink you from a football perspective. But fantasy-wise, I mean, I thought he was dreadful in that game, and he was still able to deliver 20-plus points. And I think that they will need to be throwing to keep pace with Detroit.
Matthew, with Browning, is he playable in any format without Ja'Marr Chase? Because that's kind of been his binky since he's had to play, and it's really helped him be a competent quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and you don't love the matchup at Pittsburgh. Yes, the Steelers' defense isn't what it once was, but this is an important game at home for the Steelers to try to stay alive. This is one of those, AFC North battles. Like, all the cliches are cliches for a reason, right? Because they're true, and so it just feels like whatever the record is, whether it's the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, the Steelers, there are always these ugly games in December in the AFC North. And so, Browning to me is more of a mere mid-tier QB2. You wish he had Ja'Marr Chase. He doesn't. If there's a positive here for Jake Browning, he's had at least 3 straight games with 275 passing yards. They're running the offense. They're just letting him run the offense as they will. He's the 3rd best quarterback in fantasy over that stretch. And so there's a decent chance. You're like me. I'm in a semifinal one league. I beat producer Damian in a league of all of our old ESPN folks. Me and Damian made the semis. I'm actually in a 2-week final, and I lost. It's a super flex league. I lost Joe Burrow, so I've been riding Jake Browning. I don't have a shot. I don't have a chance. So it's going to be Hurts and Browning for me at quarterback for the next 2 weeks. I wish I had Chase. But I think he's a mid-tier QB2 again, because what they do with that offense is they protect him, right? It's a bunch of dump-offs. It's trying to get yards after the catch, so you'll see Mixon and Chase Brown more involved. You'll see T. Higgins, who had the huge game last week, some Tyler Boyd, and they'll try to fill in as best they can. So not ideal, but usable but probably not the top three guy he's been the last 3 weeks.
If you need to stream a defense, here's a couple targets over here with the Broncos against the Patriots, Green Bay against Bryce Young and the Panthers, the Bengals defense against the Steelers with Mason Rudolph expected to be under center. And of course, if you need to make a move for the playoffs and you want to pick up anyone that we talked about today, you probably have to drop someone. Sam Howell makes this list as great as he was this year in fantasy. The Jets and the 49ers are his matchups for the fantasy playoffs. A.J. Dillon's been banged up. Kareem Hunt's been ineffective for the Browns. Adam Thielen, Gabe Davis, George Pickens make the list. Jahan Dotson, he's got the Jets, obviously, this week. And then the Niners, as we said, with Howell. And Jerry Jeudy from the Broncos. Those are all of our droppables. We will take our first break. When we're back, we're going to recap the Monday Night Football thrilling finish of Drew Lock taking down the Eagles right after this.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
5 of the last 6 weeks, no team in the NFL has allowed more yards to the slot this year than the Philadelphia Eagles. That's an area of the field to attack. And so JSN, who lines up the majority of his snaps in the slot, give me the over on 37.5. I don't think that's that big a number for him.
33 seconds left. Shotgun snap. Three-man rush. Lock throws long pass down the far sideline. Caught over the shoulder. It's grabbed. Smith and Jigga. Touchdown. Touchdown. Seattle touchdown.
Great call, Matthew. Jackson Smith and Jigba hits the over on the game-winning touchdown. Never in doubt. Jay, since week
Never
nine,
in doubt.
Since week nine, underdogs are 7-0 straight up on Monday Night Football.
Makes me worry about my Niners next week against the Baltimore Ravens. But no, it's been an incredible streak. These have been some of the most ridiculous upsets as well. Thinking about the Bengals as 10.5-point dogs beating the Jags. The Titans with 2 touchdown underdogs against Miami. We have Tommy Cutlets. We have Josh Dobbs not doing anything all game against the Bears. The Eagles-KC game was insane. Sean McDermott's gaffe against the Broncos. And then I don't know why the Jets were favored over the Chargers.
I was just looking at that and don't remember that being a thing at all.
No, I think that might be flipped. But in any case... Sorry. The Jets were the last underdog to lose. Some incredible results. And last night certainly stacked up against any of them, given it never felt like Seattle were going to win that game until they did.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It came down to the wire here. And Matthew, from a fantasy outlook, I mean, if Drew Lock remains at quarterback right now with Geno Smith injured, what is the fantasy outlook for Seattle's offense?
He's not going to. Literally, just in the commercial break, there was a Fantasy Life app alert. I got it. So Michael Sean Duggar, who covers the team, does a really good job tweeting this out. Pete Carroll reiterates on at Seattle Sports that Geno Smith will have a full week of practice and play against the Titans. So that literally like 3 minutes ago was tweeted out by Michael Sean Duggar, who does a great job covering the team for The Athletic. So it is going to be Geno Smith, but I almost don't. First off, we love Drew Lock. The post-game interview was amazing. He drinks free today, as we've talked about here. But Geno back is good for all the pass catchers involved. I don't know if there's much to take away. I mean, I think Metcalf and Lockett and JSN are sort of what they are. They're all kind of, Metcalf's a top 15-ish wide receiver, and the other two are upside wide receiver threes.
Jay, my takeaway from this game is that the Jalen Hurts MVP campaign is long over.
Yep, completely done. I think both NFC's candidates are completely done after this weekend, Hurts and Dak. Dak might have a little bit more of a chance, but those guys, I mean, Hurts' case was always wins, and now he's got four losses, and he's not going to get the one seed unless the Niners somehow lose two of their last three. So you can see there, Jalen Hurts drifts to 15-1. I mean, I might need 300-1 to back Jalen Hurts at this point, honestly. I think that's, this award is between the top two guys on the board. Brock Purdy -200, Lamar Jackson +450. I think the winner of Monday Night Football between San Francisco and Baltimore, that's very likely your MVP.
Matthew, would you any value there on Lamar?
I think there's some value there in Lamar, especially, again, if you think the Ravens beat the Niners coming up on Monday night here. I don't know if there's a takeaway on Jalen Hurts fantasy-wise. It wasn't a great NFL game for him, but he gets you the two rushing touchdowns. He gets in. The two picks did absolutely kill. We had a parlay going, the three of us, in terms of, and we needed two field goals from Jake Elliott. If one of those picks doesn't happen, they would have gone down and kicked the field goal, yep. But two bad picks from Hurts down the stretch. Ultimately, though, fantasy-wise, you're still starting him. He's a viable QB1. The other thing is that I thought Swift, again, he's not involved in the passing game. When they get in close, they give it to Jalen Hurts. But it is, you're still starting DeAndre Swift, but he's more of a low-end RB2 than he is, you know, the borderline RB1 than he was earlier in the year.
All right, we're taking our last break. When we're back, a little Back to the Future is coming your way, courtesy of our friends at DraftKings, right after this.
Ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
It's nice that you do the read with the
other
host.
Yeah, we do it together.
That's really nice. Yeah, on Happy Hour, I'm just lone wolf. They just throw me to the side and just, yeah, you got it.
Damn, that's messed up.
Yeah, just 5 days a week.
Does Barry throw you a little of that DraftKings coin he's making?
No, the crown is absolutely not mine.
What an asshole Barry is.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. I love it, fellas. I figured I could bully you two into doing it with me now by the mechanism of Sims.
Yeah, whatever. Screw Sims. You know, for the love of God. You know... Yeah, I don't see Sims doling out any of his unbutton money out there to any of the plebeians on his show, for the love of God. Like, plebeians. You know what? Like, hey, poor Sims, I'll tell you what.
I'll host Football Night America.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to say this quickly. Here's what why doesn't Sims get his own host? Instead of stealing my guy, Connor Rogers, and he also steals Jay every once in a while, I'll get his own guys. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's keep him in over it. I'm in over there.
Well, we're off air in a minute, so I'm going to take Myles Garrett to win Defensive Player of the Year +165. Makes no sense to me that Micah Parsons is favorite at -110. Why is Micah Parsons favorite? Garrett's been better as a pass rusher, as a run defender. He's got more sacks. He's on a much better defense than a Cowboys defense that just got exposed. So give me Myles Garrett at +165.
All right, I'm going with the Bills to win the AFC East at +220. We know they finished the season playing the Dolphins. If the Dolphins lose to the Cowboys or Ravens, and the Bills handle business against the Chargers and the Patriots, that game will come down to the division. We've seen what the Bills could do against them. I like the +220. Matthew, close us out with your Back to the Futures.
I'm taking the Commanders under 4.5 wins. Look, the fact of the matter, here's their remaining schedule. Jets, Niners, Dallas. Really, the only chance they have is to beat the Jets, but believe it or not, the Jets are favored in this game. So if you think, like, you're better off taking the Commanders at plus money under 4.5 wins than you are taking them against the Jets on Sunday.
All right, that's it for us. For Jay, Matthew, I'm Connor. We will be back tomorrow with Lawrence at 12 here on Peacock. Peace out.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.